I want to read the words of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, first in Isaiah 7 and then in Isaiah 9. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. These are really favorite verses from the prophet Isaiah, and often read early in December. As we think about the Christmas season and preparing our hearts for the coming Christmas. And with the newly decorated meeting house and our anticipation of Christmas in a few weeks, we read these verses with a light heart and really with a sense of joy and anticipation and wondering what's going to come forward, even thinking about presents that we will share as gifts for one another. But beyond that, just the joy that we express as we are celebrating Christmas together. It's the promise of peace and hope and the coming of Christmas and the birth of Jesus. Yet we forget that these words were written or said, as promise said, as the oral tradition, said some 700 or 800 years before the birth of Jesus. And they were not written at a time when Judah enjoyed peace and goodness in the land and everything was settled and balanced and in a really good place. In fact, these words were written at a really difficult time in the life of Judah and of Jerusalem. They faced war as they are surrounded by hostile enemies. There is a severe shortage of water and ultimately of food. They were terrified that Judah, as they knew it, would be no more. And in fact, it wasn't long before Assyria conquered Israel and really wiped out the northern kingdom, and then Judah is exiled to Babylon. And even today, we live in the paradox of the joy of Christmas and the despair all around us. I announced earlier the collection of needed items for Central American asylum seekers, and even that those items are so needed causes us pain. Friends Committee on National Legislation is gathered this weekend to lobby Congress to save the SNAP program. We face global warming, sustained wars, lack of affordable health care, homelessness, and the list goes on. More than ever, we need the prophetic message of Isaiah, the message of hope and peace and promise. The words of Isaiah are a prophetic message to the people. First of all, a message of presence. In Isaiah 7, it says, look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And no matter how difficult things get, God is with us. I think that more than anything, this is what I need. The God is with me all the time. The God never leaves. Sometimes I tighten up and I push back. But God doesn't abandon me. God doesn't separate himself or God's self from me. That God is present always. And I am absolutely convinced that that is true. That God never leaves us and never forsakes us. That God is very patient and waits as we find ways to open ourselves, as we find ways to receive. But that God speaks to our very conditions. We continue with another prophetic message in Isaiah 9. A child is born named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Isaiah reassures them that God's authority will settle on them, that there is hope and way forward, that God will come as a God of peace, a God of love, a God that answers the very need and cry of their hearts, a God that can speak to them. This is a message or a promise of hope and peace in their presence. Hope, not of the wishes and dreams that kind of flit through our brains. Oh, I wish that I could, whatever, fill in the gap. But hope is trusting that even in the midst of our broken world, even when everything goes absolutely wrong, that God is still with us, that God is present with us, and that God speaks to our condition and is transforming our world, even as we face the worst of the worst. It's in the hope of transformation that we partner with God in the here and now, following the leadings that God brings to us, even the little itty-bitty nudges that seem of no consequence. Trusting that we can find way forward. It is a transformation to peace and justice and righteousness. And every time we follow those leadings and enact peace and justice in our world, we make real this transformation that God is doing in our world today. We enact what God is doing. As we notice where God is at work, we join that. We shine light upon it. We give it voice. And in so doing, we enact the transformation of what God is doing in our world. We are called to be a people that speak forth this peace and hope in a world that yearns for it. And as we remember these words at Christmas, they really speak to us throughout the year, for every day. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders. And he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Early Quakers had a prophetic message for their time. They spoke clearly and prophetically. They persisted in knowing that God speaks directly to all people so that we can hear and follow God's leadings, so that we can know those leadings directly and individually as well as communally. We need not have someone stand between us and that knowing. We're not dependent upon someone to speak for us or to make it happen. We can enter directly into that way of knowing God. They also enacted their prophetic message, living out their leadings to confront societal wrongs. They faced brokenness. It was all around them, and they did what they could to bring about transformation. They believed that God could speak to everyone, and so they allowed that to be true in their gathered worship. opening up their time as we do today, knowing that God is speaking, not just through me, or not through just George Fox, or some other seasoned leader, but through every single one of us gathered to listen. Finding themselves in prison, they worked to change prisons from the inside out. They didn't wait for the reform to come from outside and bring it to them. They simply worked from the inside out. They found practical ways to confront inequality and to say that everyone had equal access to God and everyone was equal on this earth. They chose integrity as a lifestyle, enacting fair pricing and setting fair prices for everyone, even though they were cautioned that it would cost them dearly. They chose to live in peace and live in such a way as to take away the occasion of all war, working that we might all live in peace and without war. They paid a high price for their prophetic actions, but it transformed their world. What is the prophetic message needed in our time? In 2018, what is our prophetic message to each other? What is our prophetic message to the city around us, to our world? What does God want to say through those of us gathered today about hope and transformation in our world? Let us listen as we wait in worship, knowing that God is speaking. And again, I invite, as you're led, to ask for the microphone so that we all can hear. What does God want to say to us today to bring about hope and transformation into our world?